You know, there's something getting ready to happen. You sense it, you taste it, and you know it. And what is the purpose of something getting ready to happen? It's to restore the fear of the Lord. It's to what? Restore the fear of the Lord. You know, you're hearing about earthquakes. People are dying left and right. Look, we just lost about 60,000 people in Venezuela or something like that. Well, I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. But anyways, thousands of people are perishing all over the world. And there's earthquakes, there's storms, there's floods. I mean, even in this country, tornadoes, all kinds of things, fulfilling end time prophecies. What's God trying to do? He's trying to now awaken people to bring the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It's reverence, honor, and respect to Him. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Many people fear dying. Why do they fear? Because they don't have the fear of the Lord. They fear dying. We should not fear dying. We should embrace it. Not that we want to die. Amen. We're supposed to be dead. So what the heck? We're supposed to be dead to self. But in this, there should not be fear of the world because it's torment. Fear, anxiety, and stress is torment. It's the fear of the world. Worry is the fear of the world. We're not of the world. Our fear is not the fear of the world, but it's the reverence and honor and respect to God Almighty for what He's done, for who He is, and what He's about to do. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some greater events where the fear of God is going to be manifested. Some people may curse God, just like what it says in the book of Revelation, when things begin to happen, when they have boils on them and stuff like that. And some people will reverence Him. Job was a phenomenal example of someone who feared the Lord in reverence and honor and respect. No matter what happened to him, the devil tried to do everything to him, but he maintained course and purpose and the fear of the Lord. Amen? So there's a coming fear of God. It's going to be a restoration of fear of God that's going to be happening all over the world. I don't know how it's going to happen, but the world's going to know. The world's going to know. And we want to be prepared so we're not moved by these events that are going to bring fear to the world. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 1. See, when these things happen, you go, oh, man, yeah, I know. And people are going to see that you're not fearful, but you're in reverence to God. And they're going to come running to you, asking you what's going on. And you'll be able to tell them, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Can we speak it? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Okay, there's another arena of this. Like-minded. What's like-minded? God wants us to have reverence to God, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, reverence, honor, and respect. That should be all of us that are like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and of what? One mind, one thought. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Don't degrade people. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even to the death of the what? Cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, happy days. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Praise be to God. Work out your salvation with reverence, honor, and respect to him. I would say trembling is another level of fear of God. Amen. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, like-minded, connected into the arena, again, of reverence and honor and respect to God Almighty. That's what separates me and you from the world. So that we don't agree with certain things of the world because it's perverse. It's lustful. It's damaging to the thoughts of man. We don't agree with certain things. We can't be bought. We can't be bribed. It's got nothing to do with money. It's all about God's presence. The more you got God's presence in your life, the more you reverence him. It all connects together because you can't do nothing without God's presence. And this is where the difference between religion and relationship is. You carry the presence of the Lord, people sense the presence. They sense a fear. They don't know what the fear is. They don't understand the presence of God because many people don't know it. You know, the first time, think about it, the first time you came into a worship service, you felt like running. You didn't know what it was. It's like, wow, people are worshiping. This is crazy, man. First thing that came to your mouth is, this is evil. Until that demon left you because you maintained and fought for the presence of God. And then as the more you worship the Lord, the more you got in God's presence, the more reverence. You begin to cry because of the reverence and awesomeness of who he is, because it becomes a more of a reality to you. You become more and more and more less of you and more of him. And it becomes so real to you. That was the first thing the Lord did with me. For months, he didn't let me go. He hunted me down, abducted me, brought me to the other side, dreams and visions. I mean, showed me things, animals speaking to me, all kinds of stuff. It's like, man, I kept saying, well, I'm convinced. Why don't you show everybody else this now? No, you show them. You show them who I am. Tell them who I am. And he still does it. You know, I was just telling my wife this morning, I said, you know, hon, for the last few weeks, I don't know what's going on. Or maybe a couple months, I don't know. But God's been getting me up early. Of course, he gets me up early every day. But for some reason, I would wake up, and I would lay and get ready to get out of bed, whatever, and all of a sudden, I'd smell coffee. I'm thinking, where's the smell of coffee? So I'm thinking maybe my wife already started coffee, or maybe it's from next door. But this has been going on for days and weeks now. I'm thinking, Lord, that's you, isn't it? You're waking me up with the smell of coffee. God, this is crazy. How can people understand this? Because God is always expressing and exposing himself to you as an individual. Because he loves you. Why? What do I do every morning when I wake up? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Quicken me and revive me and help me pray because I can't do it on my own. I say that first, and then the coffee comes. all of a sudden that smell of coffee. Oh, man. Then I need to run downstairs and make coffee, you know. But again, God reveals himself to me and you in so many different ways. Things sometimes that even the littlest things, we don't want to miss them. But we know it's God. Why? Because we reverence him. The more you reverence and honor him, the more he reveals himself to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 10, 27. Glory to God. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not what? Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But for very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than what? Sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Fear, worry, versus what? Reverence, honor, and respect. You know, we are to respect the King's presence in everything we do. Everything. And the enemy attacks us with fear, worry, frustration. Oh, what if? He always brings that question across our path. What if this? What if that? What if you're sick? What if you're going to be diagnosed with this? What if you can't pay your bill? What about this? He's always the what if idiot. And he's always trying to bring us into a place of fear or worry and nullify the fear of God. Remember, when you walk in fear of the world, it blocks God from moving. Hallelujah. Matthew 27, 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Well, you know, that was an event that brought the reverence of God, the fear of God. Amen? So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they what? Feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Events that brought the fear of God. We are going to see events bringing the fear of God. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge of who? The Creator. And that knowledge is from above. It's revelation knowledge, not worldly knowledge. See, when people begin and the Spirit begins to break the heart and enter in, and it begins to reveal things to an individual, the reverence of God becomes more. The fear of the Lord becomes more. Then you want to respect him even more. And again, it's watered, it's on fire, it's by presence, by praise, by worship. The more we do that, the more we reverence God. The more you sow in the Spirit, the more you what? Reap life. And He is the life giver. You fall in love with Him repeatedly, over and over. See, God's love is, it's not just God's love that's constant. His love is for me and you is unconditional. But our love from here for Him renews. It recycles. I mean, we begin to do things and we begin to drift from loving God like we usually know. And then all of a sudden an event will come and, oh, man, I really love you, Lord. You know, I don't realize how much I really love you. And I really love you. And that's when revelation comes. And that's when the fear of God comes, the reverence and honor and respect to Him. See, we seek that every day. We look for it every day because we're in love with Him. It's a love that is totally different from the world. We love one another, but you don't love one another like you love God. He's your first love, your eternal love. He's your fulfillment. He's your everything. Everything else is a blessing. Amen? Glory. Events that bring the fear of God are coming more and more and more. And revelation knowledge. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Psalm 112, verse 1. Man, you'd be driving down the road, all of a sudden one of those wonderful worship songs come out, and next thing you know, you're weeping. Oh, Lord, I love you. Why? Because that song just reminded you of His presence and His glory and His goodness. And you just can't help yourself. I've had to pull over to the side of the road and weep like a baby sometimes. I mean, it's just, it's an awesome thing. Because we're not of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 112, verse 1, let's speak it. Praise the Lord. Blesses a man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments or His words. His descendants will be what? Mighty on the earth. These are His promises. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in His house. Are you ready? And His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion, or what we call discernment. Surely he will never be what? Shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his what? His enemies. Ooh, to God be the glory. Why? All in the reverence and honor to Him. This is for those who reverence Him. Promises, descendants mighty, wealth and riches in His house, and right, your righteousness will endure forever. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, praise be to God. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The world see. Will see His glory on us. They will see it. Why? Because these events that are about to happen are going to bring the fear of God Daniel 10, verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. In other words, fear, reverence, trembling. Amen. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of where? Persia, Iran. Withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. He humbled himself. In other words, he reverenced the King of Glory. When you humbled yourself and you desired to understand, in other words, wow, okay, so the understanding was the reality of knowledge. He was wanting more revelation knowledge. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Amen. Matthew 24, 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, those are definite events that it's going to bring the fear of God. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, worry, fear. In other words, these are events that God was explaining that's going to come because it's going to cause the fear of the Lord to be returned. Amen? Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. He's going to shake the earth. Why? To restore the fear of the Lord. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as that the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence, which is what? And godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. He's going to shake to restore fear of the Lord back. Psalm 36, verse 1. There sure seems to be a lot of lack of fear of God, and it's being exposed. Hallelujah. Psalm 36, verse 1, let's speak it. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Wow. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed and sets himself in a way of what? A way that's not good. He does not abhor evil. No fear of God. You see that in the Democratic Party. They're demonized. And many political parties, not just that. Look at all these false religions. They all fear a false God. But their fear to them is not reverence. It's not with love. It's the fear. It's the wrong fear. It's torment. Muslims are tormented. Does everybody get that? They're tormented. All these other religions are tormented. Book of Jude. In verse 12. And what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to remove the reverence and honor and respect to God. See, they think they can get away with it, but they ain't gonna. Whatever man sows, he's gonna reap. In verse 12, these are spots in your love feast while they feast with you. Without fear or reverence, honor, and respect to God Almighty. Serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch in the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Now think about this. Ungodly, what does that mean? No fear of God. It means no fear of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go for it. These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit or having the fear of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits where they are of God. How are you going to know if they're of God? You're going to reverence, know whether they reverence God. Amen. You're going to know whether they reverence and fear the, if they have the fear of the Lord. Because they lie, you know. People lie. Spirits lie. Oh, I know the Lord. Yeah. Well, what's that cigar in your hand and that bottle of booze in the other hand? No reverence. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close at Isaiah 60. Coming fear of God. God is going to bring a restoration of the fear of the Lord. By what? Events. Let's speak, start at verse 1 to 6, I think, or 5, 6, yeah, something like that. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and it will be transferred. Things are going to change. Sometimes it's hard for our peanut brain to comprehend all that. You know, because we've been hearing it for years. Amen? But we're in it now. It's here. It's happening. And you're going to begin to see events happen. It's going to bring the fear of the Lord and restore the fear of the Lord to this earth. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you so very much. Thank you that we will not be shaken by the events that are coming, but we'll be glorifying you because they're coming from you. Lord, I speak peace, blessing, salvation, and stewardship to each and every one here in the area of remembrance of who you are, what you've done for us, and maintain and increase reverence and honor and respect to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.